you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. And I like what I feel in the house. And what a beautiful building that we are getting to worship in. And I believe you already know this, but you are blessed people to have a man of God with the vision that he has for us to be able to worship in a sanctuary like this. Amen. I told him in the office, I kept going on and on about just what I saw back there. And I was bragging on what I saw back there so much. I looked at him, I said, it wasn't that I didn't expect anything less, but man, this is wonderful. The good thing about it is I see some empty seats in here. So that means there's room to grow, amen? You know, empty seats, a lot of times they intimidate people, but that ought to boost our faith that that's a seat for our lost loved one, or that co-worker, or that person you've been praying for, or worshiping for, or dancing for. Give Brother Motes and his family honor, you wonderful people of God, for worshiping him the way you do, all the musicians. And I don't know if you know me, I'm looking around this house and I don't know any of you, and if you're a people worth your salt, then somewhere in the back of your mind you're saying, I wish my pastor was preaching tonight. If you're worth your salt, that's what you're wishing right now. But I do have a word from the Holy Ghost here tonight for us. And I'm just going to go ahead and just be frank, blunt with us here tonight. I see the worship. I see the praise. But I also see some of you worshiping and praising God. But somewhere in your mind, you're dealing with unbelief that's telling you you can't have what God's promised you you can have. And you're sitting there, and while you're clapping and while you're worshiping and while you're praising God, you're still trying to sit here and make deals with the enemy on what you can have and what you can't have. But I feel like telling somebody in the Holy Ghost that if you've got three babies and two of them's got the Holy Ghost and one of them don't, it's not the will of God that that one stays lost. And I'm thankful for the building, but just let me go ahead and put this out here. If this is it, we have no reason to continue to worship and praise God, but I believe that this is just the start. How many buildings you say? Three. I believe this is just the start to number four that's going to be built. And so I'm going to just obey the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to confront some things. Maybe I'll get asked back, and if I don't, I love Brother Motes, and I love all you great people, but I'm going to obey God tonight because I'd rather deal with making somebody else uncomfortable than making God uncomfortable, amen? There's some believers in the house, but there's some unbelief in this house. There's some people that's learned how to clap worship on Sunday and know how to gossip on Monday. We're fixing to confront that because let me tell you something. Nothing's more miserable than praying to God for the will of God to be done in your life and you undoing it by your actions and what you do. And so tonight's going to be a night where somebody gets some victory, and while you're praying, you're going to be in the will of God and you're going to see God unfold some things in the next 30 days. Hear me right now. You're going to see God unfold some things in your life in the next 30 to 45 days. And you're going to realize it's not just because I know how to clap, but it's because I know how to walk on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday when the preacher ain't looking. Nothing's more miserable than coming in here and worshiping the way we're worshiping. And then the devil not even having to do his job. Us doing his job for him. But somebody's going to get some real victory in this house tonight. I seen some of you sisters praying, and it was like you was crying tears, and you was praying, and while you was praying, and while you felt the Holy Ghost, there was something in your mind all in the same moment telling you that you can't have what God promised you, and you can't have this, and you can't have that. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus right now. Verse 5 says, but the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and exalted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But the Bible says that when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come here also." You know what I want the spiritual arena to call this church in this city right now? The church that turns things upside down. I want to turn the bar rooms upside down. I want to turn false doctrine upside down. I want to turn the homosexuality movement upside down. I want to turn the drug arena that's got your baby. I want to turn it upside down. If you want to be that church, I wish you'd clap your hands right now. I wish you'd raise your voice right now and get ready for the preached word of God. I'm telling you, God's going to loosen you here tonight. It's not the will of God for you to worship in the same building with somebody you got all against. It's the will of God that you can sit there and say, "Brother, go, go, go. Sister, go, go, go." It may not be my little Johnny praying through, but I'm going to shout with you while your little Johnny prays through. It may not be my little Johnny that's up preaching the word of God, but I'm going to shout while your little Johnny preaches the word, because God's got a will for my little Johnny. Gifts of the Spirit are going to be loosened. And I'm not, that don't mean that you don't operate in them. But there's people that God wants to operate in the gifts of the Spirit that you haven't operated in them yet. They're going to be loosened in this house tonight. I want you to raise your hands one more time. We're getting ready to preach. Anybody feel that right now? Anybody just feel that door in the Spirit arena open up? There's a depth coming. Hear me. Come on, we're not going to learn how to be professional Pentecost. We're not going to learn how to shout at the beat. And before we leave the restaurant, the Holy Ghost done left us. God, we're going to live for you Monday. We're going to live for you Tuesday. I'm coming to rebuke the spirit of chaos in this house. Come on, the spirit of chaos in this house that's weighing against your man of God and his family and some of your brothers and sisters. I come to rebuke that here tonight. Wherever it's coming from, I'm rebuking it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, sisters. You could shout while they were singing. Can you shout while we preach? Things be loosened. I want you to call it down right now. Come on, call it down for a few moments. Things be loosened in this house. Amen. Clap your hands all across the house. Thank you for being faithful. You may be seated. I give my wife and my two daughters honor here tonight. And I just want to say what an honor it is to be here in the house of the Lord. Paul the Apostle was an eventual follower of Jesus, though not one of the 12 apostles who professed the gospel of Christ to the first century world. Paul is commonly regarded as one of the most influential figures of the apostolic age. He founded several churches in Asia Minor and Europe. He took advantage of his standing as both a Jew and a Roman citizen to preach, counsel, and teach both Jewish and Roman audiences. According to the scripture in the New Testament and before his conversion, Paul was committed to persecuting the early followers of Jesus in the region of Jerusalem. In the account of Acts of the Apostles, often indicated simply as the book of Acts, Paul was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus with the purpose to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem when the resurrected Jesus appeared unto him. We know by study that approximately half of the book of Acts deals with Paul's lives and the works which Christ done through him. And in Acts 17, we read about Paul going through three different cities. The first city he comes to is a place called Thessalonica. The Bible tells us In verse 2, as was his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned and he proved to them scriptures. In other words, what Paul was doing was Paul was preaching the word of God. And I want to pause right here and preach for a few moments on this Wednesday night that the preached word of God still works. I want to tell somebody that the preached word of God will give you strength, and the preached word of God will give you guidance, and the preached word of God will give you clarity. And what this world needs is a preacher to get up and preach the word of God. I've come to tell somebody here tonight that what this world needs is not an apostolic church to sit there and water down what they preach or what they stand for, but what this world needs is the preached word of God. What your backslider needs is to hear the preached word of God. What Hot Springs, Arkansas needs is the preached word of God. I've come to preach to somebody here tonight. Never let us become a people that can run while they're singing and shout while they're beating and stand and worship while they're beating on the drums, but we sit on our hands while they're preaching the word of God. I'm thankful for the music. I'm thankful for the drum beat. But can I tell somebody, I can clap to the music, but I can clap to the preached word of God. I can shout to the music, but I can shout to the preached word of God. I can run to the music, but I can run to the preached word of God. I'm not going to sit here and get quiet. We're having a Holy Ghost move of God because the music's good, but we're preaching the word of God here tonight. You may tell you how to get a miracle, respond to the preached word of God. You may tell you how to get dominion, respond to the preached word of God. You may tell you how to get victory, responding to the preached word of God. The word said in Romans 10, 14 and 15, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How many of you is thankful for a man of God that's been sent to a city to preach the word of God? Oh, we ought to be getting a better response than that. How many of you is thankful for a man of God that gets up and preaches the word of God? How many of you is thankful for a pastor, come on, that doesn't compromise, that doesn't water it down, that doesn't try to make you feel good, but he'll get up and preach Acts 2:38 to you? How many of you is thankful that there's still hope that little Johnny's going to come back home and little Susie's going to come back home because the man of God's still preaching what the word of God says? The man of God's still preaching that there's a way out of sin. The man of God's still preaching that repentance works, Jesus' name of baptism works, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in another tongue is still the way to be saved. I'm thankful for a man that has been sent to preach the word of God. The addict needs to hear the gospel being preached. The broken needs to hear the gospel being preached. The religious world needs to hear the gospel being preached. We don't need to water it down, and I'm thankful that I'm standing behind a pulpit tonight of a man that's not going to water the message down, but more than just a man of God getting up and preaching the word of God, we need saints of God that'll take what they get in here. We need saints of God that'll take what they're hearing in here, and they'll go out there and they'll preach the word of God. I'm telling you, don't you back down on the job. You stand flat footed and tell them that repentance is what worked for you. Don't you back down at the family reunion. You stand up and tell them Jesus' name baptism is what worked for you. Don't you back down, come on, in a corner when they're standing there. You tell them you talked in another tongue and God gave you victory and peace. You tell them how your preacher gets up, and when he starts to preach, you start to clap your hands and you start to dance and you start to worship and you start to praise. Why? Because we got to get to preaching the word.
word. We got to get to letting them know that the word still works.
To believe, we must hear truth preached by a man sent from God. And a lot of times we can get this mindset that when they preach, that there's different ways to respond to the word. I've heard it said that I don't preach for a response, and I'm not arguing with that, but can I tell you that if we really read our Bibles, the word of God demands a response. Whether that response is getting up and walking out, that response is crying, that response is clapping, that response is raising your hands, or that response is running the aisles. The word of God demands a response. And I just want to preach to something I'm feeling in the house right now. That when you're man of God, I'm not even preaching about me tonight. I'm going to go whichever way home is from here. But can I tell you that when your man of God gets up and starts preaching the word of God, you're not doing anybody disarm by just sitting there. But when your man of God starts preaching the word of God and you start clapping your hands, do you know what you're doing? You're letting hell know, I'm not just hearing, but I'm believing what the man of God's saying. When the man of God gets up and starts preaching Acts 2:38, and you sit there, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. But when you stand up to your feet and you begin to raise your hands, you're letting hell know, I believe Jesus' name baptism still works. I believe repentance and tongue talking still works. When you start clapping your hands, you're letting hell know, I believe when the man of God says, my family's coming back home. I believe it when the man of God says that we're getting ready to go ahead with the vision to build another building. Well, Brother Posey, we've not even been in this building 3 months, but you got to believe it when the man of God gets up and starts preaching it. I'm telling you, there's nothing like when a man of God gets up and starts preaching, but it's nothing like when the people of God say, I hear what you're saying, but I also believe what you're saying too. I'm not just hearing you preach holiness and separation, but I believe holiness and separation. I'm not just hearing you preach about prayer, but I believe prayer still works. I'm not just hearing you preach about running the aisles, but I believe aisle running still works. I believe dancing in the Holy Ghost still works. I believe getting ready for a move of God still works. Because there's some of us right now that we've been arguing and fighting with things in our spirit, and we think we're getting our point across by pulling the... I wonder what hell does when a man of God's been preparing to preach the word of God, and he gets up from that word that God has given him and what he's prepared to deliver to his flock, and all of a sudden when he starts preaching, little Sally's out there, or Sister Molly's out there sitting on the pew, and little Johnny's done told Sister Molly how he's not going back to that church, and he doesn't know why in the world she follows that man, and why in the world she does what she does, and that's nothing but a bunch of hype. And all of a sudden the man of God starts preaching, and Sister Molly just starts to make, she don't feel like standing up. Sometimes life just has, she really don't feel like standing up, but all of a sudden she finds strength to get up. And while the man of God's preaching, that backsliders are coming home, and little Johnny's going to get revelation. She gets up here and starts pointing at the man of God and beating. Hell don't know what to do with somebody like that. Hell don't know what to do with somebody. Come on. When the man of God starts preaching about gossip, and all of a sudden Mr. stands up and says, I believe what you're preaching, preacher. When the man of God gets up and starts preaching about miracles, and cancer's had its way,
and cancer's had its way, and all of a sudden they say, cancer might have took granny, but I still believe God can heal cancer. Cancer might have took mama, but I still believe God can heal cancer. Cancer might have showed up and took Aunt Sally, but I still believe he's not just preaching it. I believe what the man of God's preaching. I believe what the man of God's doing.
Can I take my time? I was in revival with Brother Joel. No, you're Joel, right? Jeremy, yeah. I'm telling y'all need to pray for my mind. I've been talking about things I know, and it just goes blank. Brother Jeremy, if you're listening live, I'm sorry. You are my man. Jesus' name, help us. Grandma gets sick with cancer. Grandma lived for God. She had the Holy Ghost since she was 5 years old. Grandma didn't know what a cigarette tasted like. Grandma didn't know what alcohol tastes like. Now, look, let me go ahead and tell you. It skipped a generation, and I didn't grow up in the church. You're not looking at some little preacher boy in here that don't know what life's about. I know what it's like to be out on the streets. This is how we sit where I'm from, getting your grind in at 13 years old. I know what it's like to wake up before you get out of the bed. You got to have a hit to get up and even function because of depression and anxiety and getting to the place. I'm preaching to somebody right now. See, some of you think we come to play church tonight. There is no such thing in my vocabulary as playing church. I don't believe God looks says it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If we can have victory on Sunday night, we can have victory on Wednesday night. And just let me say something. I'm thankful to be with a group of people that don't sit back on a Wednesday night, but they got a made up mind. They're going to get up here and get a little victory. They're going to get up here and have a little dominion. They're going to get up here and have a little power. Grandma got sick. It's the day I found out. I got a picture on my phone where she had little Camille. She was pulling her in the wagon. She just told us they found something. She knew what it was. And I remember in my truck taking that picture. I don't want to get off my notes. I don't want to take a long time tonight. But I took that picture, and I remember saying, God, you can't take her right now. And I remember Grandma, she made it through cancer. She had this and that, but something went south after. And all of a sudden, I landed from a trip off. I landed in Alexandria, and I had a text message on my phone. Grandma's not doing good. Two or three weeks went by. By this time, we was in revival at New Bethel. We was having revival. We was having miracles. Well, we was on the verge of having miracles, and Grandma dies. And I remember going to that revival about the next Sunday, preaching that Tuesday night, going back the next Sunday. And I remember it was like case after case. So suppose, am I telling the truth? Case after case of cancer showed up. And some of it was the same exact cancer Grandma had. And I remember in my mind sitting there laying hands on people and crying and talking in tongues. We're going to get somewhere here tonight. I may get off my notes. We're going to get somewhere. But I remember in the back of my mind while I was praying for miracle signs and wonders, saying, God, can you really do this miracle sign and wonder? And I come home and I was in Ace Hardware, and this lady, she didn't mean nothing by it. I've been witnessing to her for years. There in Gina, still haven't won her. And she said, I'm so sorry to hear about Miss Posey. She said, I know that's got to really and truly, it's got to cripple your faith. That here you are, you're preaching all over, and you preach this and that. You've told me about this and that. And Grandma, and I'm talking about it was like a charge from the Holy Ghost. Like the Holy Ghost just hit me right there in Ace. And I couldn't even control what came out of my mouth. I said, you know what? It really don't. She looked at me, I said, it just shows me who the healer is. It just shows me who the healer is. Because if I was the healer, I'd have healed Grandma.
But right after that, God, 8 different cases of cancer was healed in JS, Mississippi. I've come to tell somebody, I went back to New Bethel that next Sunday, and while Brother Robinson was preaching that Sunday morning, I remember standing up saying, God, I believe it. God, I believe it. Sometimes you just got to make up in your mind. God didn't send me here just to hear. God sent me here to do some talking back. When you clap your hands, it's not just because you were Pentecostal. When you clap your hands, you're saying, I believe what the man of God's preaching. When you start running the aisles, you're saying, I believe what the man of God's saying. When you stand to your feet, you're saying, God, I believe in revival. God, I believe in breakthrough. God, I believe in dominion. God, I believe in authority. So, I want us to understand, Paul, he's going into these cities. He goes to Thessalonica. He turns the world upside down. I feel like this church has went into a city and turned it upside down. Look at this building. Look at all these great people. 4 people to this. That's turning worlds upside down. But the Bible starts talking about 2 different groups of people that all of a sudden arise in the midst of Paul preaching. The first group we're told about is a group that I'd like to call the group of unbelief. The first group that he brings to our attention is the group that starts to try to tear down what Paul says and what Paul does. A lot of times when it comes to preaching, all we can tend to think about are the believers. But what we must realize is when the voice of truth starts to be spoken or preached, there tends to always be a voice of unbelief that begins to speak. The group of unbelievers are described as the group that was not persuaded. This group was also described as this: envious, evil, and had a mob mentality. This group followed Paul around in this chapter as he preached the word of God from city to city with one goal: to stop the world changers. Unbelief wants to disarm us and take away from us here tonight. It was in Matthew 17, 19, and 20. It said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Unbelief wants to take away your authority here tonight. It's in Mark 16 and 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Unbelief wants to control what you feel. Romans 4 and 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Unbelief wants to make you stagger and weak until you decide there's no use and to continue to pray and worship God. Mark 9 and 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And Mark 9 and 24 said, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, help me, for I believe, but help my unbelief. This verse captures an internal conflict that many believers may experience, and I couldn't help but to feel it tonight while some of you was worshiping and dancing. And I don't want to take away from your worship, I don't want to take away from your dance, but it shows this eternal conflict that many of us experience. It reflects the tension between the desire to have unwavering faith in the Lord and the reality of struggling with doubt and uncertainties. The speaker demonstrates humility. In other words, God, I believe you can heal the sick. God, I believe you can touch this. God, I believe you can give revival. God, I believe you can bless finances. God, I believe you can heal somebody else's grandma. God, I believe that holiness and separation works. God, I believe when the preacher starts saying, clapping your hands work. But God, there's something in me God, there's something in me telling me, I don't know if I can have it, and I don't know if we can do this, and I don't know if we can do that. But I come to stand in the voice of unbelief tonight to remind us that unbelief wasn't the only voice that was talking about this chapter, but there was a group of believers that made up in their mind, it doesn't matter what unbelief's saying, it's time to turn the world upside down. I've come to challenge this church tonight that there's people here that you've not taught a Bible study because unbelief's telling you you can't teach a Bible study, but it's time you turn the world upside down. I've come to preach to people that you've not had financial breakthrough and you've not had dominion in your finances because unbelief's telling you you can't have that, but I've come to challenge you, it's time to turn the world upside down. Unbelief's telling you you can run and clap, but mama's not coming home. But I've come to preach to a group of believers tonight that while you're clapping, you need to make your mind up. Mama's coming back home. Daddy's coming back home. Auntie's coming back home. Little Johnny's coming back home. I'm not going to sit here and clap in unbelief. I'm about to be a believer. I'm about to have victory. I'm about to have dominion. I'm about to have authority. I'm about to have power. So much potential in this house. Lord, I believe. I believe. But unbelief's just telling me I can only believe so far. I believe what pastor's preaching. But unbelief's telling me that I can't have this and this. You know what unbelief wants to do? Unbelief wants to come in the city where you're having authority and dominion. It sounds like this in 2024. Well, God can bless that brother and that sister financially. But God can't bless us financially. You don't understand, Brother Posey. We're just good old country people. Hey, I live in a place called Aimwell. You know why it's called Aimwell? Because you got to aim well to get there. No red lights, no green lights, no yield lights, few stop signs. And can I tell you, when I got in the church, unbelief tried to tell me that all you're ever going to do is just come here, sit here, and be this and that. But I won't forget on May 20, 2012, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember walking up that aisle saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do if you'll just fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Me and my wife was talking about it today. It'd be hard to see this one and this one and this one doing what we're doing. But for some reason, God said, you know what? I'll let you do that. Does that mean I don't have moments where I'm wondering if God can do that or not? No, 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 no. But sometimes I just get myself and say, you know what? I'm taking unbelief to the altar tonight. I'm not going to sit here. I'm preaching to some people here tonight that the devil's got you convinced that the will of God is for you just to show up, clap your hands, and just go through this and that. I've come to be a voice of belief tonight. The will of God is for you to have dominion and authority. The will of God is for Him to bring you in, make you holy and separated, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and send you into an unholy world, and for you to have revival right here, for you to bring everybody you work with right here. Don't let the devil tell you you can't have it. I've got a word for somebody tonight. You can have it. You can have dominion. You can have authority. You can have breakthrough. Unbelief will tell you it's impossible for you to have a prayer life of 2 and 3 hour prayers. Hey, can I just tell you it's a difference in doing this and doing this? You can do that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and live under the rule of the enemy on Monday. Or you can do this on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and walk in victory on Monday. I'm telling you, church, I'm preaching to somebody right now. I feel this so strong in the Holy Ghost. It's time that you keep running and shouting the way you do, but it's time that it starts echoing out to a different place in the spirit. It's time you make up in your mind, you know what? Unbelief will make me envious. Unbelief will make me have a mob mentality. Unbelief will make me take away from everything else that everybody else is doing, but I can make up in my mind, God didn't bring me here to live in two worlds. God didn't bring me here to be blessed on Sunday and be punished on Monday. God brought me here to have dominion. God brought me here to have authority. God brought me here to have dominion. God brought me here to have authority. Musicians, come. I seen you, sis. Where are you? I seen one of these sisters up here praying. I seen you. You were sitting there, you was praying right here. Was you one praying tonight? Was it you? I seen you. I seen you. I seen you tapping into something. You tap in, and but you know what I'd also say? I'd see you tap in. I'd see you take two steps forward. And then it was like all in one moment, you took two steps backwards. Because there was two worlds sitting there trying to convince you that what you have and what you're wanting is, it's just deal with it. Just deal with it. I even seen it when God showed me that I could see it. It's almost like you were sitting there. You were saying, you can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have it. And while you were saying that, you wasn't convinced that he couldn't have it. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost that he can't have it. You need to make up in your mind, I don't have to have somebody constantly encouraging me. I don't have to have somebody constantly. I don't have to have somebody constantly encouraging me. You can have authority on Monday morning praying in the Holy Ghost, but you got to get rid of. You got to get rid of unbelief. You got to cast unbelief down. You got to make up in your mind, I wasn't meant to live holy and still struggle with unbelief. I've been brought in to have victory. I've been brought in to have authority. I've been brought in to have dominion. I've been brought in to have miracles, signs, and wonders. Hear me, Brother Moat. Hear me. Hang on. Keep praying. Just listen to me for a moment. We didn't even talk on the phone when I was coming to preach for this man. But I can see it. I can feel it when I was praying. I had two different words. And I said, God, if they preach the first one before we get there, I'm going to preach this one. God gave it to me on an airplane headed back from Durham, North Carolina. Y'all preached my first message without me even having to get behind the pulpit. But let me tell you, God's brought you here, and God's brought you here for a reason. But what got you here isn't going to get you to the next place. I'm going to say that again. What got you here by itself, it's not going to get you to the next building. Because when God gives you something like this, where much is given, where much is given, much is required. There's some of you that God's giving you the license that you can sit here and live right here. And every now and then when you step over the line, God will help you get back over here. But I'm telling you, there's coming a moment in time where spiritual death's going to happen if you start living too close to the line. And unbelief is just setting up saying, you know what, if I can just keep them, if I can just keep the mindset they got, I'm not really worried about if they clap and they worship all the time, if I can just get in their mind on Monday, if I can make them show up and think, you know what, so-and-so don't like me because so-and-so didn't speak to me, or so-and-so don't really care for me because so-and-so he walked right by me and didn't talk to me. Can I tell you, that's the voice of unbelief trying to get you to second guess everything. That's the voice of unbelief that's trying to get you to second guess whether you belong here or not, or whether you're loved or not, or whether this is for you or not. But there were some believers that said, it don't matter what unbelief's saying, I'm about to turn the world upside down. What are you preaching, Brother Posey? You're either going to get on the train or get left. Come on, because we got our mind made up. I'm about to turn the world upside down. I'm about to turn the drug world upside down. Same man. I'm closing, I promise. Acts 16. We find him in a jail cell. And they start singing and they start praying. And there was things that started to be loosened in doors that started to be opened. Come on, some of you learned how to shout with unbelief on your back. But I'm telling you, there's certain things, there's certain places unbelief can't go with you. And that's in a different dimension. I feel a loosening the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, I feel a loosening the Holy Ghost right now. I'm about to speak to it, and I'm done. But these voices that's telling you that you don't belong, and these spirits that's making 1 minute you feel like you're a part, and you can come up and you can shout and dance one Sunday, and two Sundays from now, you won't even move because of something that's happened, those days are about to be over. This envy and this strife and this gossip and this spirit that says, you know what? I got to tear A down where I can get to B, and I got to tear A down where I can get to C. That baby's about to die tonight. Come on, because I don't just preach for a shout. I preach for a response in the Holy Ghost. There's some mamas here tonight that Johnny's going to come back home when you walk out of your jail cell. There's some daddies here tonight, come on, that blessing financially is about to come when you walk out of your jail cell. There's some ministries that are about to be birthed in this house tonight when you make up in your mind, God didn't just open the door for me to sit here. God didn't just open the door for me to sit here. What's the Bible say? The Bible says that the guard wakes up and he's about to kill himself. And all of a sudden there's a voice. You know what that voice was? That was a voice of believing. You still with me? See, some of you is having a hard time going here because all you know is a 5 minute little dance and shout this or that. But when we start plunging into the deep, you can't understand what the preacher said. I'm telling you, those days are over right now. God's about to start giving you dreams and visions. God's about to bring you to a place in prayer. You're about to turn this into a house. That's it, sis. Be loosened right now. God, I'm sick and tired, God, of being destroyed by my mind. God, I'm sick and tired, God, of unbelief making me act the way that I should not. I've got to have victory tonight. Come on, you got to shake that off right now. Come on, you got to shake that off right now. Some of you need to repent before you shout tonight. Some of you need to repent before you shout. Come on, men. Our sisters have been leading us all service. Can I tell you, sometimes I need to look over and see Daddy get loose in the Holy Ghost. Come on, speak right now, speak right now, speak right now. Speak, 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 speak. Somebody take your man back tonight. Somebody take your joy back tonight. Somebody take your authority back tonight. Come on, young lady. bodies. That's it. Get loose in the Holy Ghost.
Don't wait on mama to get loose. You get loose. God starts dealing with you. God will start dealing with mama.
Some of you brethren, link up right now. Come on, some of you brethren, link up right now. Link up, brethren, link up, link up, link up. Don't have the mindset, I'm not going to do what that man says. This ain't about what I'm saying. This is about what God's saying. Link up. Some of you sisters, link up right now. We're not fighting each other. We're not against each other. Link up, link up. I feel a loosening. I feel chains falling off. I feel prison doors coming open. It's time for the believer to start talking. Come on, some of you's waiting. Some of you's dealing with the voice of unbelief telling you, I can't have this, I can't do this.